I would invite your attention today to the book of Acts, chapter 11. Before we get there, it's been a week, hasn't it? I experienced a wide array of emotions this week as our Supreme Court made their ruling. I was disappointed. I was hurt. I was angry that five men who sit on a bench could tell multiple thousands of people that they can't establish the guidelines for their own state. I was furious when they lit up the White House of the United States of America in the LBGT rainbow colors. That flew all over me, I'll be honest. Infuriated when our set president says we now have a more perfect union. But you know, there comes a time where you got to get a grip, right? You got to come to grips with the way it is. And as I was dealing with that vast array of emotions God put in my heart, Hebrews 13 and 8, and I want to share that scripture with you. Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. As I read that verse, the more I read it, the more I realized nothing has changed. The Supreme Court cannot overrule our Jesus. The Supreme Court cannot tell our God right and wrong. It is our God that has established His guidelines. And homosexuality was wrong in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was wrong when Romans chapter 1 are written. And it will be wrong on Judgment Day. It will still be wrong, and people will stand accountable before a gracious and loving God. I'm encouraged this morning because nothing has changed. God is still God. Jesus is still Lord. And nobody can do anything about that. You know what else I'm glad, thankful for? I'm thankful for the church. That's what we're going to talk about today, is the church. I'm thankful that in the church, and understand when I say church, I'm not talking about a building with a sign out front that says church. I'm talking about a group of baptized believers who stand for the truth of God's Word. Okay? And I thank God that there are still churches today who will stand upon the principles of God's Word. And I'm also thankful that in the book of Matthew we're told that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. You know? We're not losing. It's a war. You know? There are battles. But beloved, when it's done, Jesus comes back. Judgment will be just and it will be right. And there will be no Supreme Court. There will be no opinions. There will be no marches and demonstrations. There will just be the truthful rule of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. God is still God. And He is still good. Would you stand with me as we read from the book of Acts? Acts chapter 11 verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them?" But Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, and we're going to stop right there for the moment. And again, I invite you to just look to the Lord in prayer once again. Brother Ken Worthen, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Despite everything, there's a weak and feeble courage.
Amen. You may be seated. I said I was thankful just a moment ago. I said I was thankful for the church, and I truly am. I'm thankful in knowing that there are a group of people that I can lock arms with and go through this life fighting the battles in this life that we have to face. People that I know will be there to support and encourage, and people that I know will stand for the truth of the Word of God. But I do want to share with you, church is under attack today. And it's often under attack from within. Do you appreciate your church?
Amen.
Amen. I do too. And today I want us just to step back and be on guard. Because the church is too precious to let Satan mess with it. Okay? And we're going to start with the text that we just read, the confrontation. I want to tell you, if you go to church long enough, there's going to be a confrontation. You know that? Why? Because there are people in churches. Churches would be great if it wasn't for us, right? There's going to be a confrontation, a problem that arises, that difference of ideas or opinions. And that's what happened here in the text that we read. And for every confrontation, there's a cause. And that's what I want to begin with. The reason for the confrontation with this church at Jerusalem as they take their stand against Peter. The reason for the conflict was that Peter had gone into the home of a Gentile and carried the gospel message into the home of a Gentile. Now, I remind you, Gentiles would be like us. I don't think there are any Jews here. If there are, God bless you. But most of us are Gentiles, right? So Peter, and if prejudice is describing the Jew very mildly, okay? As far as the non-Jew goes. They thought, would have thought, Gentiles like you and I were dogs. Not worthy of the gospel. So when Peter went to this Roman soldier's, this Roman commander's home, Cornelius, and preached the gospel to him, oh, it did not set well with the church at Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, we know Cornelius, and I preached this 2 weeks ago, and if you missed that, I encourage you to go back on the website and listen to it. But to give you the background, Peter had gone to the home of Cornelius, a very religious man known for seeking God and giving alms to the poor. And God told him one day, Cornelius, when Cornelius was praying, God told him to send to Joppa for a man, a disciple named Peter. And Peter would be found there. And so Cornelius sent his servants to Joppa after Peter. Well, while they were traveling, Peter goes up on the rooftop to pray. And he has an experience. He falls into a trance while he's up on the rooftop. And he sees this vision of a great sheet that's let down from heaven. And on this sheet, he said, all manner of unclean beasts were on the sheet. And he heard a voice that said, Peter, kill and eat. Well, now you know the dietary laws of the Jew, right? If it's not kosher, it's not going in, right? And so Peter looks at it and says, oh, Lord, no, never has anything unclean or common entered my mouth. I wouldn't dare do it. And God said, Peter, what God has cleansed, don't call common or unclean. And so that happened 3 times. And finally, after Peter had denied 3 times, said, no, I can't do that. God took it back up and took the sheet and the unclean animals back up into heaven. And Peter's sitting there wondering, I wonder what this meant. In the meanwhile, 3 men were at the door waiting on Peter, or at the gate. Peter heard God speak once again. And God told him, Peter, there are 3 guys waiting for you at the gate. Now you go with them. Take off. Don't ask any questions. Don't judge. Just go with them. And it dawned on Peter what it meant. It meant that the gospel was for everyone. Okay? Black, white, red and yellow, blue, green. It didn't matter the color. The gospel was for everyone. And it was Peter's job to go with these men and preach Jesus in the house of Cornelius. And so what happened is Peter goes. He preaches Jesus. They receive Christ. They receive the Holy Spirit. And now we would say, that's wonderful. Now if I went to revival and came back and told you, man, there were 50 saved, what would you say? Amen. Well, see, the Jews wouldn't say amen. They'd say, what color were they? No. Were they Jewish descent? Were they of Jewish background? And where we would say, wonderful, they haven't come to that point yet. And so tempers are set as they learn Peter has gone into the home, and they're ready to fire hurtful words, and you know, sides are formed, lines are drawn, and it's about to get ugly at the church of Jerusalem. And they address Peter. Actually, it says they contended with him, saying, you went into the home of a Gentile. Now that word contended, of course, it means to judge. You see, they haven't heard the whole story yet. And they are judging Peter. Peter, you're wrong. What are you doing going into the homes of a Gentile to preach the gospel? You ever done that? Did you ever make up your mind before you hear the whole story? You just heard, but you haven't heard from the individual. So you make up your mind, that fellow was wrong. And when you see him, you're just waiting to give him a piece of your mind. Y'all don't ever do that, do you? I'm guilty. I've got to confess. Things are about to get serious at the Church of Jerusalem. The church is filled with emotions, anger. They're fixing to kick Peter out, just to be quite honest with you. Peter says, hold it. Hold it. And I want to take a break at this point, and I want to warn you. Beware of emotions in a church. Okay? Now I'm not talking about being joyful when we worship. I love to worship with a smile and lift my voice and praise to God. I love that, you know? I'm talking about emotions where logic is thrown out the window and emotions like anger, hatred, and bitterness kick in. You see, a church cannot survive on emotions such as that. As a matter of fact, emotions such as that can do more damage in 10 minutes than you can repair in 10 years. You see, just the first warning, I'm reminded of James chapter 3, verse 6, where we're told the tongue is a fire, a world set on iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Have you ever thought, I'll give them a piece of my mind? I'll tell them about it. You know, back up and realize, just because there's a contention, just because there's something out of the ordinary, just because you've heard something that you've never heard before, that doesn't mean you jump on the wagon and stone the guy, right? That doesn't mean sides have to be drawn. Because I want to tell you something. We're all on the same side at Victory Missionary Baptist Church. All right? Now, I don't buy into this deal about we're all just trying to get to heaven and all religions are the same. And that's hogwash. I'll be honest with you. But if you're a member of Victory, you're a child of God. Or you're professed to be a child of God. And you're building your life on the principles of the Word of God. Okay, so we have this in common as the church. So I want to warn you, because every church, and I don't preach this today because there's a problem with Victory. Far from it. As a matter of fact, I've never seen the love that I've experienced at Victory. Okay, but if you're here long enough, you're going to see it. Something's going to rage up, and something is going to cause a contention. The question is, what are you going to do about it when it happens? Well, it brings us to Peter's conversation. Absolutely love Peter's reaction. Peter, you can tell Peter was a changed man. Peter, had he been approached like this during the ministry of Jesus, he would have pulled out his sword and whacked off an ear of the people that were approaching him, that is, you know. I mean, but Peter's very calm. He says, listen, let me explain to you. Let me explain to you what went on. He didn't go on the defensive. He didn't get angry and say, who are you to question me? He didn't become offensive. He did not become disrespectful. But Peter went in detail of everything that happened to him. He went down the list. How he was on the rooftop and God let the sheet down. And he went through the list and described everything that had happened. Very calmly, very responsibly, and very respectfully. Why? Because they were his brethren. They were his brethren. And I want to remind you today that when that time comes, you need to remember that the folks sitting in front of you, behind you, and around you are your brethren. Okay? I mean, it's your job to love them. It's their job to love you, even when they're hard to love. I mean, we all know some folks over there get hard to love sometimes, right? We're all right over here, though, aren't we? There we go. You know, that's why I mentioned a while ago how important it is to check those emotions. And to keep in perspective what we as God's church are here to be. You see, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, Paul put it like this, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love. You know the word bearing means? It means to carry. It means even when it's hard. You know? And endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You see, I've told you this before and I'll tell you again today. People have told me repeatedly, when they walk in the door at Victory, they feel something different. I know what it is. First of all, it's Jesus. It's the presence of the Lord that's here. But secondly, it's the unity of the Spirit that's here. I want to tell you something. You can't fool people. When you walk into a church, you won't be there 10 minutes. You'll know whether that church is in harmony or not. You, as a member of Victory Missionary Baptist Church, you be on guard for those times and those moments when you could speak your mind, but maybe you shouldn't. Perhaps you just need to explain yourself calmly and coolly. Because you see, here's the consideration. Many would look at that church at Jerusalem and say, how dare you attack me? Who are you to question me? But see, here's what you've got to consider. And Peter knew this. God had dealt with Peter very directly. Peter had had a conversation with God. And he had been shown the sheet. But the church at Jerusalem had not. You know something I've learned as a pastor? God often puts things on my heart. And He leads me in directions. And He speaks to my heart. And it's my job to bring you along with me. But He doesn't speak to your heart for me. See, that's what happened with Peter here. God dealt with Peter. God dealt with Cornelius. But the church at Jerusalem had not had the experience. They hadn't been there when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles at Cornelius' home. They hadn't seen that. But it was Peter's job to bring them along. And this was a big deal. This was a big change. This was against everything they had ever been taught. I mean, we all know change is change. Right? Change is hard. And it change is especially hard when you've been taught something for a very, very long time. I want to tell you something. I'm not the man I was when I was first surrendered to preach. So you're sure not. You're a lot older, preacher. Yes, I am. Been almost 25 years ago, a few gray hairs. But I want to tell you some things that have changed. God has given me a new perspective on a lot of things. You see, there are a lot of things that God has shown me along the way. And there were a lot of things that I was taught when I was a kid that, well, I just say was not Bible. But I was taught it as Bible. You ever have that? For example, clapping. 30 years ago, in a Baptist church, if you clapped, they'd have ran you out on a rail. Oh, don't do stuff like that. The Bible speaks against it. That glorifies the man. It doesn't glorify God. Boy, I preached that several times till somebody approached me and said, show me where that is. My comment was, it's in there. Well, where is it? Well, I'll have to look it up and show you. And then I look it up and, you know, it says, clap your hands to the Lord. And it's wrong. And I do love the one that, you know, people, they talk about that. Well, that just glorifies the man. Saying amen, that doesn't glorify the man. Have you ever listened to the amens? When somebody that's really good, all people are shouting, amen, glory, that's good. But if somebody like me that's not so hot sings, they say, amen. Same way with clapping. You know, if somebody's really good, we'll give her a good... My point is this. Things do change along the way. I'm not talking about bending Scripture. And for the record, as I said in the beginning, homosexuality has always been wrong, and this preacher nor this church will ever perform or be involved in the marriage of same-sex couples. Okay? That will never happen if I'm here. And so I'm not talking about Scripture change. I'm not talking about bending Scripture. I am talking about being open to what God shows you. Contemporary music. We all know the story with contemporary. I learned a super, super lesson with contemporary music. You know what that lesson was? If you'll quit calling it contemporary music, everybody will love it. They will, if you just don't say contemporary. You know, I went through battles and some years ago, you know, with music, and I kept using that term, contemporary music, and I figured out, okay, you just need to hush. You know, you just need to quit using that word, contemporary. And then I got to noticing they would sing songs that I knew were contemporary. And people would come to me and say, man, did you hear that song? That was beautiful. Yeah, it was, wasn't it? So I don't use those words anymore, you know. Oh, there are a lot of things. A lot of things that change. But I'm going to tell you what. As I said in the beginning, God never changes. We have a responsibility of God's church to stand on the truth of God's Word. And if God says it, that's the way it is. I'm not open to opinion. My opinion doesn't matter. However, when it comes to something like Peter faced here, with dissension in the church, knowing that it was his job to bring them along, knowing that God had given confirmation . Peter handled it beautifully. He really did. As he explained and said, and then we get to verse 17 and 18 of this same chapter. And Peter, after he had went down the list and after he had explained it, he said, if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus, who was I that I could withstand God? What a dynamic question. Who was I that I could withstand God? You ever seen God work? You ever seen people point a finger and that church must be doing something wrong because God's working there? I always loved it when they say that. Peter realized it wasn't about him. You know? He realized it was not about him. Who am I that I could get in God's way? That's one thing that churches need to realize today. It's about God. It's not about us. It's about the preaching of Jesus Christ. It's not about traditions handed down from fathers and sons and generations. It's about Jesus. And when God leads that way, when God gives, who are we to resist God? And I love the church's response. It says, when they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying... You know what the they is? It's the church at Jerusalem, right? They glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. You know when God was glorified? When they became silent. When we start pursuing those arguments, when we start chasing those I don't likes and I thoughts, things that we can't back up with Scripture, we get nowhere fast. But when we look at, thus saith the Lord, my friend, I promise you, God will be glorified. Not only had God changed Peter's heart. You know what's really cool? God changed the heart of the whole church. God can do that, you know? He could change the heart of the whole church. I looked at this and I was thinking, I'll be honest with you, that you know, they're going to fight this battle again and again. Because some people have real trouble letting go and moving forward. I preached this message today, and this is the last message of this quarter, Go Reach Our World. And I preached this message today because I thought, what an awesome place to stop. What an awesome place for us just to back up and consider what a blessing church family is. What a blessing it is, and what a responsibility we have to maintain the harmony and protect the unity of Victory Missionary Baptist Church. So, here's my closing statement. When this preacher gets out of control, you know, just smile and say, oh, God loves him. He gets that way sometime, and love me anyway. And when you get out of control, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the same thing. Lord willing. And I know He is. But most importantly, we're going to stand arm in arm for the cause of Jesus Christ, for the preaching of the gospel and the standing of the truth according to the Word of God. Let us be in harmony and in dedication and do whatever it takes that God may be glorified. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to share with you a great love story. That love story is Jesus died so that you could live. He gave His life because you're a sinner. Brother Doug, I'm not that bad. Oh, yes, you are. You know you are. I know I am. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wonderful news is God proved His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ gave His life so that you could have eternal life. How does that work? Very simple. If you call on the name of the Lord, that you give your life to Him, you're a prayer away right now, asking God to save you, knowing that Jesus is the Son of God who gave His life for you. And the good news is, you know what? Jesus is not dead. He's not dead. He's alive. He's seated at the right hand of God, waiting for your prayer. And you could be saved today if you'll call on the name of the Lord. Maybe you're here today and there's another need in your life. Perhaps the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church, and we will be glad to accept you however we can scripturally accept you. Perhaps you just need to repent. You know, Christians need to repent sometime. Whatever your spiritual need is, I would just ask you, will you listen to the Holy Spirit in this invitation, and will you respond to the dealing of God's Holy Spirit? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You, Lord, for Your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word, where we can learn. And we thank You for the opportunity to serve You through Victory Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, Your will be done in this service. I pray Your will be done in each of our lives, that Lord, as we leave this service, that we would take You with us and share You wherever we go. And now, Lord, help us to be responsive to Your leading in Jesus' name.